When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Welcome! Another edition of It's Still Real to Me. Of course, It's Still Real to Me is our wrestling podcast. Everything part of Zaslow Show 2.0, like It's Still Real to Me, brought to us by our title sponsor, Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. 800-747-FREE. 800-747-3733 if you're involved in any kind of an accident. You're dealing with a personal injury, you deserve to be compensated. First, you call 911, you make sure you're okay, then you call Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Whether it's a slip and fall, motorcycle accident, hit and run, boating accident, Anajar and Levine will get to work for you. Call the best in the business, Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. Got a fun show planned for you guys here today. But of course, you got the NBA Finals from last night. You got the Stanley Cup Finals going on tomorrow. And Bet Online is your number one source for all of your action. That's right. Every stat, every matchup, even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. Heck, head on over to Bet Online. NXT Battleground this weekend. Come on. When the game's over, head to Bet Online's online casino. Get in on a game of blackjack, poker, maybe unwind with one of over 150 slot games. Head to the BetOnline website today. Get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. So here's what we got on today's episode of It's Still Real to Me. Evan Husney, executive producer and one of the creators, co-creators of Dark Side of the Ring. Dark Side of the Ring on Vice TV. You guys know I've been watching Dark Side of the Ring. I don't know, I think it started up maybe 5 or 6 years now. Somewhat controversial sometimes because they take on, you know, a lot of controversial topics in the darker side of the world of pro wrestling over, you know, the last however many years, like 50 years, you know. It's a great show. Those guys do a really good job. And Evan Husney has joined me. I don't know that he's been on Zaslow Show 2.0. He was on Zaslow Show for sure when we were on 790 A Ticket. I don't know if I have had him on the podcast, but we're going to have him on here today. Yesterday, I watched the first episode. It's a 4-part series on Dark Side of the Ring, Who Killed WCW. That's right. 4-part series, Dark Side of the Ring, Vice TV. I think the premiere episodes are Tuesday nights. And this past Tuesday night, they premiered the first of a 4-part series, Who Killed WCW? I love going back in the history and reliving all that WCW stuff. Obviously, Monday Night Wars was a wild time in pro wrestling. The book, I think The Rise and Fall of WCW, it's called something like that. I think the author is Guy Evans, I think is his name. He's featured a little bit in the first episode of Dark Side of the Ring. Anyway, a couple years ago, I read the book. So if you're interested in this stuff, it's a great book. A lot of detail there. Really comprehensive coverage on the rise and fall of World Championship Wrestling. So the premiere episode debuted this week. I highly recommend you guys watch it. Evan Husney, co-creator of Dark Side of the Ring, one of the executive producers. I know The Rock's company, Seven Bucks Production, The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, Brian Gewirtz, his writer, they are involved in producing this series as well, Who Killed WCW, which makes sense because The Rock is in the first episode. So I hope you guys enjoy today's episode. Here it is. So Evan Husney joining us now, executive producer, one of the co-creators of Vice TV's Dark Side of the Ring. You know, we love this series. We've had Evan on our show a couple times over the years, and they just started this week, four-part series, Who Killed WCW? Vice TV, you could check it out. The first part premiered this week. Evan, thanks a lot for joining us. Appreciate it. And I guess I want to start with, what was your WCW fandom like? Were you a WWF kid, or were you a WCW kid?
That's a good question. Well, first off, thanks for having me. It's awesome to be back with you. WCW for me was huge when I was a kid. That was actually, during the late 90s, that was my preferred promotion out of the two. I started as a big WCW fan. I actually got back into it because of the very classic, N64 games that had come out at the time. I was big into the N64, and those WCW NWO games were everything back then. And that sort of got me back into wrestling. I was into wrestling when I was a little kid. I was young Hulk maniac and so on and so forth.
Everyone goes through that period where they lose it for a couple of years. Every wrestling fan does that.
Yep, exactly. So I came back around to it right when it started heating up again in the late 90s, and it was WCW for me. Also because I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Nitro came through all the time back then. So my dad would take me to the Nitro shows at the Target Center. So I must have saw like half a dozen of those back in the prime time zone of the late 90s. So I have a lot of affection for WCW and NWO, all that stuff. It's a huge part of my childhood. So I think that played a huge part into wanting to do this. Was in part because of that, and also because of Guy Evans' book Nitro, which I had read for the first time a few years ago. And what many people feel like was a well-trodden territory for a story, something that's been told many times before, once you read that book, you realize just how much more to the story there actually is, because WWE for many years has sort of written the history of what happened at WCW. They are the victors of the Monday Night War, so the victors shall write history. But Guy Evans' book really illuminated a lot of things, especially with this sort of dysfunctional relationship between Turner Broadcasting and WCW, sort of how this company from within was sort of its own worst enemy. And that was something that was really sort of underappreciated for many years with that story. And so we felt like there was enough room to explore some new territory. Now, granted, this is a four-part series. Episode one just came out this week, and that's sort of setting the table, if you will, for this story, getting all of the elements in place, everybody caught up to speed before we really dive into, what the sort of, systematic downfall of this company was.
So it's 4 1-hour episodes on Vice TV. Did you have to pack it into the four episodes, or were you granted four episodes? Because we have so much story to tell.
Yeah, it was really tough to figure out what the best format for the show was. We knew it couldn't be one or two episodes. That would be impossible. There was a lot of talk. Actually, the genesis of this idea originated as a podcast, which is kind of fun. We were flirting with the idea of launching sort of a Dark Side of the Ring podcast series that would sort of look at stories that were, too big to tell on the TV show. And this was the idea, like maybe we could do the like a big WCW deep dive, like 10 episodes for a podcast or something. But then when, you know, Vice and Seven Bucks Productions, you know, Dwayne Johnson's company wanted to partner with us again on something, you know, we were in that WCW headspace. We're like, what about WCW? And then it was kind of off to the races. I'd say like late last year, we were sort of sketching out how we could tell the story and how many episodes we'd need to do it. And, you know, that combined with just budgetary factors, we landed on 4 as kind of the magic number. And I think it works great. We're not stretching anything. You know, we're not, you know, we're not sort of, you know, backing it into those 4 episodes. We really felt like 4 hours was, you know, enough to get into this, to sort of for everyone to walk away with sort of a new understanding of what took place at WCW.
How has it been working with The Rock?
Well, awesome. I mean, we had worked with The Rock and Seven Bucks and Brian Gewirtz and all those guys over there once before when we did the Tales from the Territory show, which was just a few years back. And yeah, we wanted to get the band back together, so to speak, to do something different, something new. And it was great. And this was even a greater experience for me personally, because you know, Dwayne wanted to sit down for an interview for the show, which obviously is awesome and helps out the show tremendously. And even in a practical sense, like I've told this before in talking about this show, but interviewing a lot of the people from WCW back then, it's like because of the way things went down and, you know, the last several years of that company weren't the greatest. A lot of people look back at WCW with sort of a more negative outlook, more like dejected demeanor. So it was kind of hard to get enthusiasm out of people about talking about what when WCW was great and when they did great things. And so we sort of needed a hype man, for lack of a better word, to put all this over. And Dwayne wound up being somebody who could serve that role, somebody who could say on camera, hey, the NWO shit was great. And, you know, they were kicking our asses, and it sort of motivated the WWE to, you know, to be better. And so it was great to get that voice in the show. And I think he sort of winds up serving as like the only voice from the other side of the fence with WWE. Anything pertaining to WWE, he sort of comments on. But all the other voices in the show are solely that of people who are from the inside of WCW.
Is everyone's attitude, you know, more toward the negative side? Like Kevin Nash, for instance, does he eventually, like, does he look back on some of it as positive, or is it all bitter?
No, he looks at some of it as positive. I mean, I think everybody is very proud of the 83 weeks. Of course, the 83 weeks where WCW was beating WWF in the ratings, it was 83-week streak. I think everyone's very proud of that, you know, as the only real other wrestling company that could have pulled that off at that time. I think that's something everyone's still very proud of, and they should be, because that's amazing. It's miraculous. Especially by today's standards, imagine someone coming around and doing that now, it'd be wild. So, So I think that there are good times, but when you're talking about the legacy and you're talking about, like, you know, the whole enchilada, the whole picture of the company, it's not the greatest. You know, but Kevin Nash has a very unique outlook on all of it. Obviously, you know, he looks back at it in terms of his compensation. And, you know, he was very well compensated over those years. And for him, and it comes, like others, it comes, a lot of it comes down to money. And you know, that's why he has these great one-liners in the show. My check didn't change, you know, during the whole process of this. So, you know, it kind of does remind you that, you know, at the end of the day, there is an outlook to all of this where it is just purely financial. But then again, that might not last forever. So
now I say this while telling you that he is my all-time favorite wrestler and I love him very, very much. But how bitter is Bret Hart?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it always makes me laugh. He has a way with words that is very entertaining. But we needed somebody who was, you know, who had that experience coming into the company and it just not working. You know,
he had the worst experience, right? Like no one had a worse experience than him.
Yeah, he's sort of, exactly. I mean, especially, you know, how his career ended, of course, which is discussed in the, in next week's episode. And so, you know, he's kind of this like case study, if you will, for WCW, for someone that sort of came in, you know, under the idea of, okay, well, maybe Brett's going to be the star of our new show, Thunder. And it kind of came in at the worst time because they were really stretched thin creatively. And, you know, when WCW just grew into booking almost 10 hours of wrestling a week, and it's like that sort of attention to detail, what made, you know, which is what made that company so great in 96 and 97, was impossible to keep up with in 98 and 99, which of course is when, right when Brett is coming in, or, you know, at his peak in this company. And so, yeah, we needed someone who sort of had that experience and can give that sort of side and aspect to the story. It's not a very surprising one to those of us who know, but for those who don't know, it's definitely pretty dramatic.
It's so interesting, the difference with WWF back then and WCW. And I know DDP mentioned it in the first episode. Kevin Sullivan, I think, mentioned it as well in the first episode, where WCW pay-per-views, essentially, the card, like the matches all together would be great, but they could never figure out the main events. And they can never figure out the finish to the main events. And in WWF, there were lots of pay-per-views where the card was kind of shitty, but boy, the main events were always awesome. And they knew how to close out a show.
Yep. I mean, that is something that's mentioned in the first episode. I believe it's the first episode. They all kind of bleed together for me now after seeing them so many times. But the idea of WCW having chronic bad finish, you know, a syndrome, you know, as Eric quips, which is true. And it's interesting because the NWO, a lot of people criticize, while it's this groundbreaking thing in 90s wrestling, it's also kind of the sole great idea that the company had, and they couldn't quite figure out a way how to keep it going and the momentum of it. And I think a lot of people, at least I've heard with just listening to people chatter about the show since it's come out, which is very interesting, is this idea that, you know, the NWO comes along. But I think the one thing they lost sight of, and maybe this is because Eric Bischoff became a member of the NWO, but they sort of lost sight of the fact that at the end of the day, WCW had to come out on top, you know, in kayfabe and storyline. The idea of the WCW wrestlers should have been the ones that sort of came out on top. And then that would have led, of course, to the NWO sort of rebuilding. And Conan mentions this too, who I think is great in the episode. He mentions it in the later episodes where, you know, there was this sort of, it was really hard to get the mid-card to interact with the top guys. There was a clear line where those two didn't mix. So I think if you would have been able to have, what's very interesting is that WCW gets criticized for taking all of WWE's talent, you know, to make their stars. But what's ironic is after WCW folds, it's all of the WCW talent that winds up going on to make WWE into the future, obviously. Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, you know, and folks like that, right? And so it would have been very interesting to see if WCW would have been able to recognize how great those mid-card stars were and how they could have been main event stars. If they would have recognized that, then maybe that would have been the thing that could have kept the company going.
Hey, we'll get right back to the conversation. But first, I got to let you guys know, you know, one of our great sponsors here is out there trying to help get you a new home. That's right. If you're thinking about getting a new home in any part of beautiful South Florida, I'm sending you to Signature Real Estate Finder. That's right. Matthew H. Mashler, your trusted real estate broker, Signature Real Estate Finder, realestatefinder.com. If you're thinking about getting a new home, that should be an enjoyable experience. You shouldn't have anxiety over it. And the reason that you're going to be able to find the best home at the best price in the best neighborhoods, finding you exactly what you want, is if you get someone with over a decade of experience. Matthew H. Mashler specializes in luxury homes. He is a certified luxury home marketing specialist. realestatefinder.com. You can contact Matthew H. Mashler at 561-208-3334. That's 561-208-3334. Maybe you're just trying to sell one of your properties right now. The best way to sell it at the best price, get it off the market right quick. Matthew H. Mashler, realestatefinder.com. Maybe you're already in the business. Are you ready to take your real estate career to the next level? You can join the Signature team. The Signature Real Estate Companies are South Florida's industry leaders, ranked number one in Boca, one of the tops in all of Florida, and with offices all throughout the state, including Delray Beach, Coral Springs, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Naples, Palm Beach, Orlando, a whole lot more. The Signature team is where you want to be. So whether you're looking to buy your next dream home, Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334. If you're looking to sell your current property, realestatefinder.com, or you're just looking to join the best in the business, Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334, realestatefinder.com. Matthew H. Mashler, your pathway to exceptional real estate experiences.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So throughout the series, like when we're done with the four parts, how many different theories as to who or what killed WCW do we wind up landing upon?
Yeah, I mean, there's a very loose format to the show. I wouldn't say that it's like each episode like features one main suspect, if you will, but it's kind of in that. It's kind of a loose format of this, where the first episode obviously focuses heavily on Eric and setting up all the stakes for the rise of the company. You know, episode two is where things start, you know, with Hulk Hogan sort of come in a little bit more and his creative control clause, and also setting up how the first of two mergers that happen, corporate mergers between Time Warner and, you know, first it's Time Warner and then it's eventually AOL, and how that sort of affects WCW as a company. And then episode three really gets into, you know, Eric being, you know, he's removed from the company and then replaced with Vince Russo, who comes in as sort of WWE's like secret weapon, quote unquote, everybody thought at the time. And he comes in to sort of try to right that ship and is ultimately unable to. And then episode four sort of gets into a lot of the corporate sort of cloak and dagger, even conspiracy theories, if you will, in terms of, okay, this company is going down in flames, who's going to save it? And how are we going to save it? And then it sort of gets into the race to save it, and various unsuccessful attempts to do so. But then obviously it's interesting seeing the fan reaction to these episodes and to what people think the show is going to cover, because yes, like there is an individual, like almost kind of a faceless corporate individual who effectively pulled the plug on WCW. And you could say like, yeah, if you're going to be super one-to-one, like, yeah, that's the person that killed it. Sure. Like actually physically killed it. But obviously there's so many factors going into, different business decisions and individual, just basic decisions that individuals made. You know, the title, when it was first pitched to me, Who Killed WCW, which one of our producers came up with, it was fun and something we wanted to lean into. I think it's meant to be a little tongue in cheek, like a murder mystery versus mm-hmm. like, okay, here's exactly the one person hiding behind this curtain who did it, you know? But it's very interesting to see how there isn't a consensus. And that's something that you will see, that everybody really has a different perspective on who did it. And it's sort of left up at the end of the day to, after you've been presented with all the information and all the facts, you know, to see that there, you know, it's a very complicated web. Of course, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's very interesting to see the various perspectives as the show goes on.
from your perspective, Evan, and, you know, essentially from a fan perspective, you look back at it now and you don't have to rank them, but, you know, top three, like, regrettable moments. So not, you know, not Time Warner, not corporate stuff. Although I guess the corporate stuff eventually bleeds into storyline and in the ring in some aspects. But if I were to give you, you know, top three most regrettable television moments or creative decisions, what would you probably say?
Well, it's hard to not put Starrcade 97 in there. I think that is one because it kind of set the tone for what would become a very difficult sort of fan relationship with the company where, you know, you're having an audience invest in a storyline, especially one that long as the Sting and NWO sort of storyline was going on for months at a time, I mean, over a year. Mm-hmm. And then you have, you know, the payoff being so unfulfilling that started that lack of trust, I think, that the audience could ultimately have with this company pulling off, you know, a long-term storyline that felt like you were really that it was worth it. It was worth the investment. And that's one of them. And I think that, again, there was so many different things that could have been done with the NWO following that. And of course, with the strength of WCW rebuilding after that, that would have been great. So I think that's a big one. it's hard to say because episode two is going to get into a bunch of them. There's obviously the finger poke of doom that everybody name checks as a big moment. That one is pretty bad in terms of, but there was a lot of factors surrounding that one. You know, you sort of had this rematch with Goldberg and Kevin Nash that kind of got sidelined because of an injury. And then Hogan comes in and sort of changes the script. And we get this kind of just very half-baked idea, which again would become something that would be more regular on WCW programming. So I do think that one's a big one, but I also think ultimately finding the right idea for what to do with Bill Goldberg after he loses, you know, his streak. I think Goldberg was something that they had. I know for me as a kid, when I got into the, you know, WCW in 97 and was just so into everything they were doing at that time. And then, you know, when Austin, The Rock, or I guess it was more so Austin and Mike Tyson was happening in March of 98, that brought me over to WWE. But then when Goldberg's rise was happening throughout 98, that brought me back. You know, so it was very, I think being able to capitalize more on that and find the right idea for there is one. And then, you know, I wasn't watching WCW at this time, but I mean, just the year 2000, I think just the year 2000 in general.
David Arquette become champion in the year 2000? Is that the year?
Yeah, David Arquette becomes champion in 2000, Bash at the Beach 2000. And it's just, yeah, by that time, the company is just, completely, I think any sort of faith that anybody had left was gone by that point, and that if this company was ever going to turn the ship around. So that's just off the top of my head.
How cool was it, by the way, hearing these, like, the actual participants rehash? And we both, look, you're a huge pro wrestling fan. I'm a huge pro wrestling fan. We've heard it dozens of times, but to have it told to you, to your face, from actual participants, the formation of the NWO. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah, I love that. I just love all of the process, the sort of behind the scenes, like from even a production standpoint, any of those types of details I just really love. And we wanted to, you know, bring the audience into that, into how these decisions are made and what the creative choices were. Look, I mean, when, again, going back to, again, a story we've all heard, but, you know, for us hardcore wrestling fans, but, like, you know, that sort of lawn dart moment when Kevin Nash launches Rey Mysterio into the production truck, that's really cool because you're really seeing something where every participant in that story is super invested and super inspired to do something quite groundbreaking. Which I think is great. I think that's the key to having a great, you know, pro wrestling company where everything's firing on all cylinders. You know, you have the production staff who's bringing in these influences like Hill Street Blues, you know, in order to sort of film these backstage segments as if
I thought it was so interesting the way that it was Kevin Nash was describing backstage punches and fights.
Yeah.
They come off terrible. And then the way that they filmed it, where you didn't see the violence. You're imagining what happened here. And I never realized that until it was explained to me there. I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, I just love that. I think it's just that to me is, again, like I was saying, all parties are operating like, you know, they really care about this and they're very inspired. You know, Kevin Nash is inspired by, you know, the Hitchcock, and then you got the Hill Street Blues guy filming it. And then, you know, just, yeah, everyone's on the same page. And I think that's just a key to running a good wrestling company. It's not just one person's vision. It's everybody equally having an inspired, you know, vision and contributing to it. And I think that's just a perfect example of when WCW was firing on all cylinders is right there.
Who did you hope to get to sit down throughout the series and you just couldn't get a hold of?
Hulk Hogan is a big one. You know, Hulk Hogan's kind of almost seems like the big missing voice in the show. You know, so I was a little disappointed that ultimately he didn't want to participate. Maybe he knows it's a minefield with WCW in terms of, you know, a lot of the criticisms he often gets about his time there. But he's such a huge part of it. I mean, without Hulk Hogan, you wouldn't have had the success that they had bringing him in, the heel turn and with the NWO and everything. I mean, he's such an indelible part of it. There were days where I thought we had him, and then ultimately it didn't happen, which was unfortunate because I think that would have really put this over the top. So he's probably the biggest one. And then the other one is just that sort of, you know, faceless Turner executive Jamie Kellner, who wound up running the company, Turner Broadcasting, towards the end, right after the AOL merger with Time Warner. And he's the guy that, you know, physically canceled the program. And, you know, he went on record on Guy Evans' book, and it would have been great to have him in this. But ultimately, I think he just can't understand why people still care about this story. And he's like, why am I still talking about this 25 years later? You know, and I don't think he has any affection for it or any affection for wrestling. So I'm not surprised he said no, but it would have been nice to have him on the show.
Look, it's off to a terrific start as always. I mean, I've been talking to you every now and then for, I guess, years now since Dark Side of the Ring has, you know, been created. It's such a fantastic show, and everything WCW Downfall related is always so interesting. So I recommend everybody, you know, this was the first episode of four that's coming out, Vice TV. Do we have anything else coming up Dark Side of the Ring related that we want to let everybody know about?
Yeah, well, I'm sure we're going to keep the Dark Side of the Ring train going, you know, for another season. It's not been made official yet, but I'm almost positive that we will. Who knows, man? I mean, I'd be really excited if we could keep the collab going with $7 and do more of these sort of limited series. I think it's a really fun format. You know, one of the big you know, it's always nice and flattering when your some of your biggest criticisms from people are like, you know, they wish things were longer or there was more of it. You know, we always appreciate hearing that. And I think this sort of new format could allow us the opportunity to do, you know, more. Yeah. 4-episode sort of stories, one story told over 4 hours. I love working in that format. So hopefully we can do some more stuff like that.
Great job, Evan. You guys keep up the great work. I love the series. It's obviously excellent. And I'm looking forward to these next 3 episodes. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us today.
All right, man. Thank you. Take care.
Excellent job by Evan Husney. Like I told you, I love all the rise and fall of WCW stuff. Really cool being able to go over some of that stuff with him there. And if you haven't, Dark Side of the Ring, by the way, like I said, fantastic show. If you didn't know that this series on Who Killed WCW has started up, I think it's Tuesday night it premieres. So either way, everyone watches on demand, all right, digital, that whole deal. You don't need to explain that to you. So episode 2 is next week. Episode 1's already on demand. Go check it out. It's really good stuff. Thanks to Evan for joining us there. We got NXT Battleground this weekend. Roxanne Perez, Jordynne Grace. I'm into that. I think I'm going to watch that. I haven't watched NXT regularly in a while. I think I'll be checking that out. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode of It's Still Real to Me. And, of course, today's show brought to you in part by Bet Online. Thanks again, obviously, our sponsors, Matthew H. Mashler, Signature Real Estate Finder, realestatefinder.com, and our title sponsor of everything, Zaslow Show 2.0, Anna Jarn Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-3, 800-747-3733. We'll talk to you next week on the next episode of It's Still Real to Me. We love pro wrestling. See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.